God, Psalm chapter 9. We ought to have a reverential fear and a loving admiration of God. And so if there's anything that we would focus our attention on here this evening, there's a time to laugh, Solomon said. And there's a time to cry, a time to be born, a time to die. There's a time for everything. And I do believe that Jesus, of course, was quoted as being a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But, you know, I believe that our Savior laughed. I believe he smiled. I believe he loved to have fun with children. And, you know, so there's a place for everything. There is. But sometimes when we need to get the attention of God, we don't have a clue of how to do that. And there needs to be a reverential fear. We need to know that we're coming before the God of the universe. And he's not a short order clerk to take our orders and to make sure that we get what we want and what we need. He is the God to be worshipped and adored. And along this line of reviving our reverence, I think that the Lord has laid upon my heart on Sunday nights, when I'm in the pulpit on Sunday evenings in the next few weeks, next 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to focus on the Bible names for God. You see, because in a name, it tells about his attributes. It tells about his character. It tells about his nature. And if you know the names of God, you know more about God. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he was commenting on this. And he said that if you don't know the names of God, if you don't know God, then, my friend, you are ignorant of the very basis of life. If you don't know him. And hence, I turn your attention to Psalm chapter 9 and verse 10. The Bible says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." They that know thy name. And the word know there is not just a head knowledge. It's an experience knowledge. It's knowing in a very close way, in a very intimate way. And my friend, the only way that you're going to know someone is if you spend time with them. And coming to church is a marvelous thing. It is commanded of God. We should gather together and worship. It's like bringing coals together. The heat gathers and everyone, each of the coals draws strength from one from another. And Satan would love to do nothing better than to scatter God's people. And God wants to gather God's people. So it's a wonderful thing and for us to bring our worship all at the same time. But my friend, we need to be worshiping God on Monday and on Tuesday and Wednesday and so on and so forth every day. And have a heart attitude of praise and a heart attitude of adoration to him. Daniel 11:32 says this, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." How do you know God? Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful." Now pause there for a moment. Wonderful. If you're not careful, you'll just think, oh, it's a wonderful. No, what he's saying is it's past our wonder and our understanding. It's incomprehensible. We cannot comprehend God. His name shall be called. He's Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in this thought, anybody ever played with dominoes? You like playing with dominoes? The first introduction to dominoes for me was not, you know, scoring 55 points. Okay, you score in multiples of fives, right? Okay, and does this make and that make our family, we go way back with domino playing and kind of helps your math. and counting and things. But you know what I enjoyed doing with dominoes first before I ever sat down playing? I'd set them up. And I'd go through the whole box, and I was really upset because there weren't more dominoes. But I'd get them all set up very carefully, and then you hit the first one and watch them go. Listen, please. There's a domino effect. There's a domino effect about knowing God. The better God is known, the more He is trusted. The more He is trusted, the more He is loved. The more He is loved, the more He is obeyed. The more He is obeyed, the more He blesses. And the more He blesses, the more He is praised. Now listen, we have churches all across this country that are wanting to get to the end game. They're wanting to get to the end, the top. They're wanting to get to the praise. And they don't know who they're praising, you know, and they get all the mechanics of praising and all that kind of thing. My friend, the praise comes first, starting by knowing Him, experiencing His power, His presence in your life. If you jump to the end, it's like trying to have icing without a cake. Listen, please, you got to have flour. You got to have baking powder and butter and eggs and milk and a pinch of salt and all the other things that go in with making a cake. And then you can put the icing on. Now you got something wonderful. We got churches that are going into sugar fits just with praise. Because the people in the pew don't know who they're praising. Now, please, I'd like to just introduce with one name of God. It is the most used name in all the Old Testament. It is a name for God that the Jews never even wanted to speak aloud. If it were to be said in their language, it would be Yahweh. It is printed in your Bible sometimes. It's printed in your Bible, Jehovah. Jehovah God. And I'll just mention this. The very first time is mentioned is in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. And to Seth, and to him also there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. And you can find in King James Bible, you can find when it's L-O-R-D, all capital letters, then the translators have made that, and the printers, publishers have made that, so that you can know that that is the indication that that is the name Jehovah God. And Jehovah God was used in the Old Testament 6,519 times. 6,519 times. Let me give you these three thoughts, and we'll be done here. Jehovah or Yahweh is the self-existent God. It's a self-existent God. Let's just take part of that. Let me just make it clear and plain. God exists. He is real. Not a figment of some imagination. Whether you look through a microscope or you look through a telescope, you cannot miss the fingerprint of Almighty God. His creative power, His desire to be active in the hearts of mankind. Flip over, please, in your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter 3 is probably one of the most famous passages with the use of the name Jehovah. Exodus chapter number 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" Now, this is Moses speaking to God through the burning bush that he has come to see, and the voice of God is speaking to him. And he says in verse 14, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the, now look at that in your Bible, capital L, capital O, R, D. The Lord God of your fathers, Jehovah, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. He's the self-existent one. He does not need anyone. God does not need you and me. It's amazing that he made us. It's amazing that he provided all of this marvelous world. And then to think of all of our solar system and the stars and the galaxies and all the things for us to richly enjoy for eternity. He's made all this for his glory and for our enjoyment. The self-existent eternal God. I am that I am. You know, the world wants to reject the presence and the existence of God, but they have to realize that there's something at work here, so they'll accept something called fate. They'll accept that. Oh, it's up to fate. I just let fate decide. Listen, folks, I'd much rather let a personal God who loves me and who is sovereign and who is in charge and who's powerful, I'd much rather do that than fate on some roulette wheel to determine my future and my destiny. I'm so glad that God sees the future and he has a will and a plan for his program and for my life in that program. Well, I just want to just snuggle up close to God. And he said, I am that I am. You know what the people say about fate? They say, have you heard this? Well, it is what it is. That's just a defeatist attitude that we just have to accept whatever comes. It is what it is. I'd much rather say I am, accept the fact that God is I am that I am than it is what it is. I hear Christians say that sometimes. And, well, it is what it is. Folks, God is still in charge. Number two, God is the unchangeable God. He's the unchanging God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am God and I change not, God said. He's the unchanging God. And let me give you this last one here today. In this thought of Jehovah, Yahweh, that he is the promise-keeping God. He keeps his promise. This is the covenant-keeping name for God. Now, I said earlier that God is self-existent, that he doesn't need us. Okay? But the covenant-keeping God demonstrates that he's relational. That although he doesn't need us, listen, he wants us. That's good. He wants us. Remember this morning on the Sea of Galilee? Remember Jesus already had the fish broiled, already had the coals, already had it going. It was already there. But what did he say? He said, bring the fish. I mean, they drug it to shore. He said, bring the fish. He didn't need the fish, but he involved what they were doing. Isn't it so great that God can involve us? When my son Timothy, whenever he was little, I would sit him on my... I probably shouldn't say this, but... Back before everything was so crazy with car seats and all that, there was a day like that, by the way. And I'm thankful for the safety that provides, okay? I'm thankful for that. And we've got car seats for grandkids in our van. That's good. Amen. But back before those days, sometimes on a trip, you know, you just kind of have, they're going crazy, you know. And I would say, here, sit on Daddy's lap. And I'd be driving down the road, and it'd be safe, no traffic and that kind of thing, driving down the road. And little Timothy, he'd put his hands on the wheel, and he wouldn't know that I had my hands securely on the bottom of that wheel. And according to him, he was driving down the road. And he was, I mean, he was having a ball. He was excited. I loved involving him in things. There were times that I'd be at a church and we'd be running sound and things and wiring and all that kind of thing. And he'd be climbing under there. He'd be helping. And I enjoyed having my children involved with me. I did not need them but to help me with that, but I wanted them to help me with that. That's what God wants. And when he makes promises, God keeps his promise. 100% of the time. God is not a man that he should lie. Let God be true, but every man a liar. So God always keeps his covenants. He's a covenant-keeping God. You say, well, what if somebody doesn't do what they should do and all that kind of thing? My friend, God keeps his covenant. And with Israel, Israel is going to be welcomed back into God's arms. Israel is going to turn and they're going to come back to him as a nation, as it were, in one day. 3.5 years of the tribulation period. They're going to realize their error and their mistake, and they're going to turn to Jesus Christ as the one and only true Messiah. My friend, that's just Jehovah God. Now, there are some 200 core names. I mean, really strong core names for God in the Bible. Derivatives and all that kind of thing of names for God in the Bible approaches 1,000. We're going to look at probably 10 of them in this study. And as you're praying to God, remember this. John, God knows your name. Both Johns. He knows your name. My name's John, too. I'm John Mark. He knows the difference between us all. Okay? Wouldn't it be good for us to know his names? He knows our names. Let's learn his names and what they mean. Because you see, when we know what they mean, then we know more about who he is. And when we know more about who he is, then we'll know more about what he can do in our hearts and our lives. Let me give you a caution. We're not telling you, I'm not about to tell you, that if you use the names of God, you can arm twist God to get God to do something because you have his names and you're using his names and that kind of thing. That is the religions of the heathen. And they believe that if you knew the names of their God, that you had power over those gods. No, no. But God wants us to come to him with a heart of understanding of who he is. And he's revealed himself to us. So let's not be ignorant of that. Let's study. Let's learn. And let's embrace him. Because he loves us. He loves you, Jim. He loves you and Jim. Both Jims. How about that? I'm just getting twins. Everywhere I go, I'm getting twins. Heavenly Father, as we approach this part of the service here tonight, I thank you that you are the prayer answering God. You keep your promises, your covenants. And Lord, you don't need us, but Lord, we need you. And I thank you so much for your precious word. You've given us so much to richly enjoy and understand of who you are. I think you're pleased whenever we dig in and we study in this way. So, Lord, I pray that you'd bless this study. I pray, Lord, that your people, that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that they get excited about this and that they would do some study on their own on the names of God. And, Lord, I pray that you'd enrich our prayer life because you are Jehovah God, the relational God. And, Lord, thank you so much for your love for us. No greater love than when Jesus Christ gave his life for us. Now, Lord, would you bless us as we remember this great gift of salvation, where you redeemed us from our sin. In Jesus' precious name.